This is HMM correspondent Alexis Goldsmith, and I'm speaking with Dara Silberman of Second Street Farm in Troy. Welcome to the show, Dara. So can you tell our listeners about your farm and what you're trying to do this year?
The Second Street Farm is a micro farm in South Troy. I built that lot basically over the last 3 years. And have been producing vegetables that get sold to people right here in Troy, New York. And I also operate a pay-what-you-can market on that site, and this will be the third year that that's happening. I originally purchased that lot from the city of Troy and have since purchased a few others, but I am in the process of trying to really develop this idea of pay-what-you-can produce and using these lots as the experimental points.
So why did you decide to go with a pay-what-you-can market rather than having set prices or a CSA?
So I've been farming professionally for almost 10 years now. And one of the things that I know to be true in farming is that a lot of the food that we produce doesn't end up at a consumer. And a big part of that is because we've decided that food is something that we need to distribute for profit rather than distribute for most efficient use. And so it's this story that capitalism has been telling us, right, that it's the most efficient distribution of resources. But as a farmer, I watch half the crops that I grow when I work on these bigger farms, and I've worked for several farms that supply for work at the that vend at the Troy Farmers Market, and they're much bigger than obviously my tiny, you know, 5% of an acre. But I watch so much food from those farms just sit in fields to get turned back into the soil, and that's a lot of wasted energy, in my opinion, in terms of the energy that I put into producing those crops, and then the energy that the farm itself puts into seeding and transplanting and putting all of this energy into food that never actually gets fed to someone. So I've decided that in my vision of farming, the ultimate goal is to produce food that gets eaten. And in order to do that, you have to take out the profiteering element from food production. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you won't make money. If we only focus on this demand aspect, like what people are willing to pay for, and we never consider this supply side of it, all of the energy that goes into the supply, we end up at kind of a zero-sum game that doesn't really add up. I'm hoping to focus mostly on maximum efficiency in terms of time put in and people fed.
So are you finding that you're able to be economically sustainable with this model? And does being in an urban area influence that decision at all to do the pay-what-you-can structure?
So absolutely it does. One of the biggest problems that farms have is connecting to a customer base. I have worked for so many farms that just don't know how to entice more people to come and purchase their goods, and that's why a lot of it just ends up not getting sold. I actually have the opposite problem. I have more people that would like to eat my food than I can possibly produce for because I have such limited access to land. And not only do I have limited access to land, the land that I have access to is incredibly subprime and requires so much of my personal labor to bring it up to a farmable state that this can't be an economically viable model until I get access to a larger tract of land or some kind of capital improvements on land, such as a greenhouse. So my big goals right now are to either find larger pieces of land that I can use in the city to further feed people in this city, or to find a space that's suitable for a greenhouse. The biggest problem that most farmers have, especially young farmers, is land access. That is overwhelmingly across the board, and all these people that I know in the farming community throughout the United States, that's a huge struggle for all of us. Unless you come from a family that has land, or you come from a wealthy family that's hoping to achieve farm tax status and you're kind of a vanity farm, I don't know any young farmers that have just come into land.
So when you say subprime, what are some of the issues that you have with your space?
The Second Street Garden, which is on the corner of Second Street and Harrison, right in the heart of South Troy, had a home on it previously, and we all know that homes in Troy have consistently have a lot of contamination issues. There's a lot of lead paint that's being used, which that's been used in the past, which then contaminates the soil. You have limited space. So, I mean, I only have about 1,200 square feet of grow space, and I produce, I would estimate that that 1,200 square feet is capable of producing between $12,000 and $16,000 worth of saleable produce. That's not a living for me, especially when you consider that that's not just pure profit. That's there's also investment that goes into that. We have a lot of issues in terms of sun access, which most people don't think of as a big issue. But for me, as someone that knows how much different just a little bit extra sun can make your yields, it's the crucial issue. And so finding land that has great sun access in the city of Troy is very difficult. You know, you have a lot of buildings blocking the sun at particular hours of the day. And I'm wary of investing in land too heavily that doesn't get epic sun access. So mostly contamination and sun. Those are the big issues, I think, that make it difficult. One of the things that makes it easy, though, is we have a lot of access to what I like to call resources, which are mostly food scraps and wood chips. I would love if there was a place where I could collect those resources and then turn them into something that's even more valuable, which is called soil. And that's basically how I built the Second Street Garden. I didn't use any of the soil that's on site to grow produce, but I collected, in a year, I probably collected between 50 and 60,000 pounds of food scraps in addition to a bunch of carbon-dense material, wood chips and leaves, and I turned that into the soil that I use on the beds. Contamination is an issue that's huge in this city, but it doesn't necessarily, as a trained farmer, I know how to manage that issue. And it's complicated to have that discussion with people in the city because they'll tell you that land's not suitable for agriculture. And I'll say, well, it's not suitable perhaps for you to envision agriculture on it, but I've got a lot more experience, and like that's a valuable resource, and we should tap into that. And that's something that's true across the board in Troy. There's 24 farmers that I know who are just highly trained and very employable in our field, but you know we don't have access to jobs in the city. We could create that access pretty easily. So that's also something that's a deficit, is the visioning of something that could be different than it is now.
So as a farmer in Troy, how friendly is the city towards agriculture in its borders?
I think it depends on a few things. I think it depends on, are you looking at what the city talks about or are you looking at what they're doing? So I think if you are familiar with the comprehensive plan that the city put together either last year or the year before, sustainability and urban agriculture actually feature quite prominently in that comprehensive report. But when it gets down to actually fulfilling the promises of that comprehensive plan, I don't feel that I get the feedback from the city that would help us really push these initiatives into reality. So a few of the things that I would love to see is, for instance, right here in my home neighborhood of South Troy, the comprehensive plan talks heavily about turning this from a industrial-heavy place into a more livable neighborhood with more access to nature, less heavy truck traffic, less building materials companies, and putting in businesses that actually serve human well-being, I guess. I don't, or us, like as neighbors on a daily basis that serve community development purposes. Unfortunately, in the years since that plan has been published, there've been two major projects, as far as I'm aware, to bring business and development into South Troy that the city has been a part of, and both of those projects have to do with trucking companies and large materials, building materials companies. So, in terms of I guess it, like, when you ask, does the city support it, I think absolutely they do. But when it gets down to, like, nuts and bolts of how are we actually making progress, I have trouble finding partners to make that actually happen.
Do you think that's just a result of a lack of basic understanding of the needs of agriculture? I mean, does the city look at the unique needs of urban farmers and work with that?
So it's not that I want to say that the city is antagonistic toward farming. That's not my experience of it necessarily. I do think that I jumped through a lot of hoops to create this kind of community food program in South Troy. I was treated much more like a standard business rather than, you know, just a public benefit business. You know, I'm not out here profiteering for food. I'm actually out here trying to feed as many people healthy food as I can. So it's odd to have to come up with to face the same kind of scrutiny that someone who wants to open, let's say, a bar in South Troy. I could understand if a bar goes through a lot of heavy scrutiny, but for myself, I had a lot of local support for this project. It seemed like there were a lot of hoops to jump through despite having an incredible amount of community support. It was actually quite expensive to get all the permits to be able to run this pay what you can market. And after that, there was a lot of conflict between myself and code. And that was really difficult for me to navigate. And it felt like that was the time, actually, and this was in 2017, early 2018. Those were the times that it felt the most antagonistic. Since then, it's become a lot friendlier. And I think that the city definitely wants to figure out how they invite this kind of investment into their land and their people. But it is a process trying to figure out exactly who do you talk to make those things happen? What are their actual powers? And it's kind of hard. You know, I'm confused about how to, like, navigate with the city myself. And that's not bureaucracy isn't necessarily my forte. That's why I'm a farmer with, like, my head in the dirt. But,
So, Dara, thank you so much for joining us today. How do our listeners find Second Street Farm?
I am on the internet, mostly through Facebook and Instagram. Those are great ways to contact me. I am on Facebook at the Second Street Farm, and Instagram, my handle is at Second Street Farm. And if you'd like to get in touch with me through those venues, that's great. I'm also soliciting sustainers for the Pay What You Can market. Essentially, we'll be opening in a couple weeks' time. Actually, we were going to open later down the road in March, but because of a lot of the different shakeups that we've all experienced as a community recently, we're going to try to push our opening date to the second week in April. We'll be partnering with the Freight Farm at the Boys and Girls Club and bringing their produce down to South Troy to help get more distribution for them and then also increase what we're able to offer the community. So I would suggest reaching out to me through Facebook or Instagram or finding us on GoFundMe. We're the Pay What You Can market in Troy, New York.